Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, you've heard it said before that God is a God of justice, that He will right every wrong, that He cares for the oppressed and those who are vulnerable. But He also calls us to partner with Him in protecting and vindicating those around us. So excited to have my dear friend Bethany Huang of International Justice Mission in studio with us today to talk about her fantastic book. It's really one of those game-changing books titled The Justice Calling, Where Passion Meets Perseverance. We'll get her on in a moment. Second hour, Stu Epperson Jr. talks to me about the last words of Jesus, how these final seven statements that He made affect and shape our life today. And so we're going to take a one by one and unpack, how does that inform how I live today? How does that speak to me today? What does that have to do with how I live out my faith? You are in for a surprise and a treat. In fact, both hours are just going to be powerful, game-changing hours. I believe you're listening here by divine appointment today. A quick shout-out to our listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, who listen on Faith 1190. We now have an FM translator in your area, so you can hear us loud and clear 24/7. Check us out on 104.7 FM. Super excited about that. So when you power down on the AM and you feel like you can't hear us anymore, hop over to the FM dial, 104.7. Also, quick note that we are partnering with the National Association of Evangelicals in hopes to get 1 million Christians praying on Sunday, July 10th for our nation. And we are appealing to God in heaven to bring revival to this nation. And if you want to join this initiative, go to National Association of Evangelicals website, NAE.net. You can sign up your life group. You can sign up your church, and you can be praying. Wouldn't that be something? 1 million Christians praying on Sunday, July 10th. Okay, let me tell you about my dear guest, my friend, and we'll get her on the show. Bethany Huang formerly served as International Justice Missions Director of the Institute for Biblical Justice. She now leads the ongoing development and application of IJM's biblical justice theology. She engages Christian leaders around the world and regularly speaks and writes on IJM's behalf. Her first book, Deepening the Soul for Justice, introduces the critical connection between spiritual formation and persevering in the work of justice. I think we'll even touch on that a little bit today. She's been profiled for her leadership in the justice movement by Christianity Today, Outreach, and Relevant, just to name a few. She's got an influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Bethany, welcome back to the show.
So good to be with you, Susie. Love being on your show.
Love. I love that we get a chance to chat, and this is a great excuse. Can you come back?
Absolutely.
Next week?
Yes, anytime.
So we love to talk scripture, as you know. You've been on enough times, and you are someone who I even like watching you read the word because it's such an extension of who you are, just when you hold the Bible. I just love it. But is there a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days?
Yes. You know, I've actually been studying the book of Romans recently, which has been really just, there's so much rich teaching in there. And so I was thinking about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through, Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, as I was thinking about coming on the show with you today. And I'll read those right now. So Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this scripture has been really hitting me as I think about justice in the world and the needs of people who are suffering and our response. I think so often we can hear about what's happening in the world and just so much evil, so much brokenness, and it's really overwhelming and we don't know what to do. And so much of figuring out what to do or even finding a way to be faithful and to take steps forwards comes through the renewing of our mind. So we need to constantly remind ourselves to put truth back into our brains, into our souls about who God is. That when we see a battle out there, when we see someone suffering, it's not about us having what it takes to help them. It's about us connecting with the God of justice, who his heart burns to help, to rescue the vulnerable, to bring healing, to bring restoration to everything that's broken. And he's inviting us to come in and join him in doing
that
work.
That's such an important
distinction. We have to constantly come back to the word to fill our minds and remind ourselves it's not about us. It's actually about this God who loves justice, and he's beckoning us to come with him.
You know, I often look at God's best will like a raging river of his capital yes. And when we tend to the things that are on his heart, it's like you're jumping into a river that's already flowing. You do your part, but the power and the intention of God's heart is already flowing. We don't have to convince him to care about that. In fact, it's reversed. He's trying to convince us to care about it. But what I notice is anytime we step into that raging river, we get this supernatural help, and we all carry a portion of his burden. It's not up to any one of us, is it?
I love that image. I love that image. It just takes us right back to the justice rolling down like mighty waters, Amos.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So good. Yeah. Well, you know, Carter Conlon once wrote, I think it was his book, Fear Not, that the wicked have fashioned in their minds a God who will not hold them accountable. And that's just startling statement, and it's true. You think, you know, I can do whatever I want and get away with it.
Right.
You add that to the conversation sometimes you hear within the church, that some of the cynics will say, oh, this justice thing, is this passing trend or this passing fashion? In some ways, that's a lighter shade of the wicked who fashioned a God who won't hold them accountable. Because if you think this is a passing trend, you're not reading scripture through the lens that God intended, because he is a God of justice. In fact, justice and righteousness are the foundations of his throne. I want you to make the case for, you know, that person who's like, ah, this is a passing trend. I mean, let's talk about what justice is and why God is so about it.
Right. Well, talking about thinking that God doesn't see, Psalm 10 actually talks about that exact mindset, where David is talking about those who bring wickedness, who ensnare those who are vulnerable. They set out nets to bring in people who are powerless and to bring abuse upon them. And they actually say, Psalm 10 says, they say to themselves, God does not see this.
Wow.
And then I've even met people who have been victimized in brothels and have been sold to traffickers, and they've been told when they're praying in the brothel and praying for rescue, they'll be told by people around them in the brothel, God cannot hear you. So there are just these pervasive lies of God does not see, God cannot hear you. But all throughout scripture, it's clear that God does see, and what God sees is injustice, and it brings great anger and passion in his heart, because his heart is for the vulnerable, and he wants our heart to be for those who need rescue. And he has everything that we could possibly need at his power when we step forward with him to bring that rescue and to see the healing come. But we first need to understand that this is central to discipleship. It is central to what it means to follow Jesus, is to be about God's justice in the world, because justice means taking what's broken and making it right, bringing restoration. And what does Jesus do? That's exactly what he does on the cross. He takes all of the brokenness, all of the sin, he justifies us, and he makes us able to live rightly by the power of his Holy Spirit. And when we're rescued by Jesus, we are invited to rescue others with him. And that's on every level of brokenness and humanity.
Well, when Kevin and I went to Washington, D.C. for the Global Prayer Gathering and then some lobbying advocacy day, I think that was like 7 years ago or so. And then at that point, when they were getting us ready to do this day of lobbying, there were 27 million slaves. Now, 27 million still was more than the 400 years of the transatlantic slave trade combined. Back then, they said, this is the third largest criminal enterprise, but the fastest growing. And it's third to drugs and weapons. But with drugs and weapons, once they're sold, they're gone. And why this is the fastest growing is because you keep selling people. You're trafficking people, and you continue to make a profit off of their rape or their slavery in these brick kilns. And I mean, it's so unfathomable. Okay, that was 7 years ago. Now, I read the latest number is estimated something like 36 million.
Just over 35
million. More than a million a year in the last 6-7 years. It's unfathomable. I asked you this on a different interview, but what vacuum happened that could allow this to pick up at such a pace?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways to look at it. But the positive thing that's happening here is that there are just very high caliber organizations doing top-notch research around the world to figure out just how vast the slavery problem is and to have better and better and more accurate estimates of how widespread it is. And I think one of the most important things for us to understand about these numbers is that we're not calculating poor labor conditions. That's an important issue in itself, but we're not even talking about sweatshop labor or farm labor or just really difficult situations where people are being harmed, but they're making a living wage and they have freedom, or they're at least making somewhat of a wage and they have freedom. But in slavery, there are no wages. There is no freedom. You are actually owned by another human being, and you're treated as their animal. You're treated as worse than animals in many cases. You become property. And so when we're looking at over 35 million people enslaved today, this 35 million people who are owned by other human beings and treated as
used less, up and thrown out too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you look at scripture, that's actually the definition of injustice in the Bible, is that someone who has whatever amount of power they have, it doesn't even have to be someone with very much power, and certainly they don't even have to be that brave, but they take whatever power they do have and they use it to abuse someone who is weaker than them. And what they take away are not the luxuries or the extras of life. It's not just a matter of basic unfairness. What they take away from that person that they're abusing are the very things that God has given to make that person human. Hmm. So they're taking away life itself. They're taking away freedom. They're stripping away dignity until that person is treated like a commodity that's even more profitable than a drug. So it's actually now the second largest and fastest growing industry. And it is highly lucrative, because a drug you can only sell once, but a human body, they just sell it over and over and use it over and over and over until it's discarded.
So when you think about this 35 million number, that these there's some enforced slavery, and sometimes they hang a debt over their head. They
right.
make up a debt even, and they keep raising the bar and raising the number, so they think they're earning it off, but it's this false pretense mm-hmm. that you even have a chance at freedom. Read some of the stories of these young kids who were too sick to work that day, were kicked in the head, were beaten.
Oh,
it's a living yeah. hell. But then what percentage of that 35 million are actual trafficked girls, where we're talking about brothels and sex slavery?
Sure. So the largest percentage of the 35 million are labor slaves, and often entire families that for generations are locked into the servitude. And that looks like rice mills, brick quarries, brick factories, rock quarries, hard labor slavery. And then you have sex trafficking, which is a whole nother industry. Where children are taken from their families, and it's always a combination of lies and violence, force and fraud, and they're locked into these brothels. And the estimates are that there are about 1 million new women and children taken into sex trafficking every year. And it's absolutely astounding on any scale. But I think it's really important for us to keep remembering, though, that all of this, all of slavery, is driven by economics.
And I was going to ask you, talk about the economic engine behind
sure.
this, but I don't think we even understand what we're dealing with here.
Right. It's a $150 billion industry. And again, talk about the development of statistics. When I first started learning about this about 15 years ago, the estimates were more in the $20 to $30 billion range. And now the International Labor Organization has verified statistics that it's over $150 billion annual profit for this industry. And it's just massive. But that also means that when this crime is driven by economic opportunity, that means that the accountability of the law can bring massive hope. So slave owners are used to getting away with their crime. They are accustomed to not being held accountable for selling children into brothels. They're accustomed to being able to have widespread factories full of slaves doing hard labor for them. And once that calculation starts to change, once one slave owner is arrested, and for example, in South Asia, we've seen slave owners arrested in a certain community for the brick factories that they've been running. And then other slave owners start to ask, oh, what can I do to not have that happen to me? How can I close down my business from being run on slave labor and turn it over to legitimate labor?
Talking to Bethany Huang with International Justice Mission, there's something you can do to get involved. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. Song at my funeral. And Sarah promised she'd sing it for me, so
yes,
I'm
she
good.
Will. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Bethany Huang of International Justice Mission. Title of her book, The Justice Calling, Where Passion Meets Perseverance. Like I said at the open of the show, this book will change your life. We've got three copies. I'm not taking calls. I want to give Bethany as much time as possible, but I am taking emails. Want to get your name in the drawing? This is what we'll do. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Justice Calling in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. And if you have a question for Bethany, you can put it in the email, and I'll make sure to ask her while we're on the air here. But we're going to get to the place of hope and joy, perseverance, and spiritual formation. So hang with me on this. But I just want to establish the issue. We're talking about this economic engine that is behind. And I'm trying to find my notes. I can't find it. Where you reference several companies, Apple, BP, tell me.
Samsung.
I
right.
mean, all these massive businesses, their profits combined. Slavery exceeds even those. I mean, so there is a demand. So I also understand that there are laws against slavery in pretty much every country, right? But that's something. But that's not always, they're not always enforced, and sometimes even the law enforcement officials are complicit. So speak to that issue.
Sure. Yep. Slavery is illegal in just about every single country on the planet, and the laws are relatively good and strong. But some of the countries that have the largest slavery problems have some of the longest standing laws against it, and they're just simply not enforced. They've been overlooked. They've been ignored. There has been bribery to keep law enforcement turning a blind eye to what's actually happening. But the key is for organizations like IJM to be able to go in and build relationships, even in the midst of really, really deep entrenched corruption, and to train law enforcement, to train local governments on what it would look like to actually bring the law to bear on behalf of the vulnerable and those who are suffering in their society, and to bring accountability to those who are committing these crimes. And you can actually see an entire country have a massive transformation. We've actually seen that in Cambodia, which was at one point the very viper's nest of human trafficking, especially for the very youngest of children. And it has had a mind-blowing transformation.
My goodness. What is the youngest recorded age? I remember from years ago it was 5 years old. Is that still the case?
Yeah, one of the girls that we found was 5 years old in Cambodia.
Unfathomable,
and that's
really
been many times over. There are very, very young children.
So what IJM does, they're made up of law enforcement officials, undercover investigators, social workers. So they're kind of there at each step of the way. They're investigating, they're prosecuting, and then they're caring for the victims or the clients, I think you call them. You don't call them victims.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so former victims.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Speak maybe to just the comprehensiveness of IJM's attention to this whole situation.
Right. It's at one time completely focused and completely comprehensive in terms of dealing with the enormity of what happens to someone when they're trafficked and the entire system and how it needs to be changed. So IJM works with local governments to infiltrate slavery facilities, whether that is a brick factory in India or it's a brothel in Cambodia where little children have been held. IJM works to find the people who are being enslaved and to document evidence of what they're being sold for, how the industry is happening in that particular place, and then goes back with the local authorities to bring a rescue operation. And many, many times, over and over and over, over the years, I've seen, and we've prayed about this as a staff, there will be law enforcement who are ready to go and they're well trained, but there's someone who gives a tip off to the brothel or to the slave facility and lets them know that we're on our way. And it's a devastating situation, but the staff in the field, my colleagues in the field, they're prepared for it. They know it's likely to happen. And that's why one of the most important characteristics of doing this work is perseverance, to know that even when the operation is thwarted, you go back over and over and over again. You make sure that government authorities know that you're not going away and that there's going to be a long-term relationship that's being built. And eventually, a rescue operation will be successful, and the girls or the families, the boys, whoever it is that's being enslaved, they're brought out of that situation, and they're taken into long-term aftercare where they receive every level of healing necessary to recover from that trauma, long-term healing. And the linchpin is to actually arrest the perpetrator of the crime, arrest the traffickers, arrest the brothel keepers, arrest the slave facility owners, make sure that the arrests are made and that the person who was committing this crime or the network of them, that they are restrained so that they can't just bring more people into their slave facility. They can't just repopulate and keep on going. There has to be a demonstration of accountability. And that starts to send a message to an entire system, to an entire structure, and things begin to change.
We've got just about a minute and a half before we go to break here. But one thing Gary Haugen has said several times is that bullies are not brave, you know, and he said it's right. So important to, you're not having contractions right now.
Oh my gosh.
I just got nervous all of a sudden.
No,
we need to get some water?
So there's the announcement. I am expecting a third child.
I'm so sorry. But she moved and she held her belly and I'm like, should we switch gears?
Well, I get so out of breath when I'm talking, and I don't want to bother the listeners with all of my
huffing and puffing. You're so sweet, and I totally exposed her on live radio. I'm so sorry.
I feel like I'm running a
marathon.
Yeah, running marathon here, and all I'm doing is sitting here talking.
It's a very big deal right now.
So I'm just going to stand now.
Bless your sweetheart, and I'm so very sorry. I was just starting to rehearse Lamaze in my mind, going, do I remember how to do this? I don't know if I do or not. But anyway. We're going to be going to break here in a moment. When we come back, though, I want you to talk about, you know, what Gary has said so many times is that it is important to send food to the poor. It is important to do that. Mm-hmm. But the poor will stay poor unless you confront those who are keeping the poor poor. Somebody
right.
has to confront the oppressors and the bullies. And in this work, he says what we've learned is bullies really are not brave. They mm-hmm. just are not held accountable. And so somebody needs to stand in the gap. And that's what International Justice Mission is doing. And I know you don't want to be called heroes. In fact, you have a whole chapter. We're talking saints, not heroes. But just between us, they're total heroes. All right, we've got three copies of The Justice Calling, Where Passion Meets Perseverance. I'm telling you what, this will turn your world around. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Justice Calling in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. And if you've got a question, include it in the email. I'm excited to tell you on the other side of the break that Faith Radio, we're partnering with IJM this summer for an initiative. We'll talk more about that on the other side. Don't go away. More with Bethany Wang in a moment. You know, when you're facing down injustice in the world and you look at the staggering numbers of human trafficking victims of slavery, you can get swallowed alive by it. And that's when you look back to the Lord. When you listen to songs like this and you remember we serve a lion and a lamb and he is the God of justice. And one day he will set the record straight. But the truth is he asks us to partner in and each of us to carry a portion of his burden. And this is doable. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friend Bethany Huang in studio. She's with International Justice Mission. Title of her book is The Justice Calling, Where Passion Meets Perseverance. In this book, you just give such a biblical understanding of justice, but very tangible stories that make you hold your breath. But I feel like you equip us also to stand in the gap and do the piece that we're supposed to do. And this listener has a great question. She said, this is a topic I weep over. Please, please, please expose the huge difference between our culture's definition of justice, mm-hmm. self-centered, self-justifying, basically my rights versus Jesus' justice. The biblical definition is skin in the game, stand in the gap. Jesus suffered tremendously for us. His justice was other-centered. I love this because almost every time we cover this, I'll get an email from somebody going, I want my pound of flesh over this, yeah. you know, whatever. And it's such a different perspective here. Maybe speak to it.
Well, I think she said it.
Yeah.
She said it really beautifully. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean when I talk about the biblical definition. I say that what is being stripped away in that abuse of power is not the luxuries of life. And we need to understand just how much of what we have in our hands is luxury. And it's not these very, very basic necessities of being a human being and of functioning as the one that God has created in his image. That is what's being stripped away when we talk about injustice. It's freedom. It's dignity. There's heaps and heaps of crippling shame that are just loaded onto the victim of injustice. And so not to mention the complete inability to lead their life, to be able to enjoy the fruit of their own labor.
They don't even have choices.
There's no choices. And often what's taken away is their very life itself because they're just used and used and used until they're discarded. So they are stripped of being human is the intent.
Mm.
And of course, no one can ever actually have their humanity taken away. But that is the intent of the oppressor.
Mm. Here's an excerpt from Bethany's book, The Justice Calling. When we look to Jesus in particular and Scripture as a whole, we see that justice and righteousness get to the heart of what it means to love God and love others. The entirety of Scripture shows that seeking the Lord and pursuing justice and righteousness belong together and were never meant to be separated.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mentioned this in a past interview with you, but I want to bring it up again. When we were at the Global Prayer Gathering and Gary Haugen, the founder, president of IJM, spoke, he spoke on joy of all things
mm-hmm.
and the joy of the Lord being our strength. And you even, as a staff person who you work closely with Gary, you said you still remember parts of that message and they resonated with you. Maybe speak to that, importance of the joy of the Lord amidst facing some of these awful injustices.
I'm so glad you raised that because it really is, I think, one of the most critical tools that we could have, one of the most important gifts that God gives us that we could carry with us into our daily life and into a world where we're trying to open our eyes to really see the suffering around us. It's joy. And it seems really counterintuitive because I think often when we're hearing about just how much devastating need there is in the world, the last thing we feel even legitimized to feel is joy. We feel like there is a guilt on us if we experience joy or if we appreciate what we have in our own lives. We feel like we need to somehow put on blinders, but that's just going to be suffocating. And I made that mistake time after time after time when I was first learning about human trafficking and first even reading the scriptures with new eyes and trying to communicate about God's passion for justice. I was so overwhelmed by the enormity of what God says in the Bible and how much need there is in the world. And I just wanted to get that through people's heads. Like, this is God's passion. But I would come at it with, and I probably still do to this day to some extent, just such a seriousness. And there is a gravity to this, but we serve a God who is so worthy to be praised and so worthy of gratitude, and he gives us joy as this gift of oxygen to actually embrace in our day-to-day life, and it gives us strength. It's, you know, how oxygen gives your muscles strength to be able to actually grow, even in the midst of grinding hard workouts. You need that oxygen, and that's what joy is. It enables you to breathe in the midst of things that are really crippling and then to realize, oh, actually, this doesn't depend on me convincing people that this is who God is or convincing people that there's so much wrong in the world and they need to wake up and pay attention. This is actually about who God is, and he's inviting people to see who he is, that he's the great rescuer, that he's the one who can and is and will set everything right, and he's inviting us to join him, and that when we join him, we'll go to places that are really hard and it'll be dark, But there's joy in the midst of it because we're with him and because it's his vision for the world that he is bringing to bear. And it's a vision of beauty.
Interviewed at John Burke, that interview will air this Friday on Imagining Heaven. And he said, consider Earth like a compressed time capsule. You'll have tastes of heaven and tastes of hell combined in one. But there are tastes of heaven. And my interpretation is, you know, I say this often, that God, the God of justice, who hates slavery, also invented belly laughs and lemonade stands and cliff jumping. I mean,
right.
He did. And every good gift comes from his hand. And you and I have talked over lunch over this issue many times about living in the tension of the blessing and the burden, because we are blessed and we can shun those blessings because nobody else, the people in traffic, don't have them. Or we can say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and to whom much is given, much is required. That is a trick, because you're mindful of the suffering, but you're grateful for the blessing. How have you managed to navigate that tension?
One of the things I love that Gary Haugen does with the staff at IJM is he just constantly injects silliness, sometimes to a really just crossing the line kind of degree, like, Gary, really? But it's so intentional. And he's really funny to begin with. But he wants there to be that culture of joy and of laughter. And there's feasting and there's fasting. So there's plenty of the fasting. There's plenty of the hard work. There's plenty of the suffering that we're opening our eyes to and moving close to, but there's the feasting that strengthens us and gives us the opportunity to stop and to pause and to recognize who God is, and that, again, he's the one taking us into this work. And there needs to be time to celebrate the victories, to celebrate just the good gifts that God is giving around us all the time, to celebrate our own children, you know, who we do get to enjoy living in freedom with, and we get to tuck them in at night, and we get to be with them in a way that so many children in the world don't. And as we're with them and we're thanking God, we can also be asking God to help us to reach out to those children who don't have what our children have, and not out of guilt or shame, but out of freedom. And because this God has given us this, and he, to whom much is given, much more will be required. And there's so much more that he's inviting us into as he gives us tastes of what we can long for other people.
Boy, that's so good. You know, I mentioned that we're partnering with Venture Expeditions this summer, working with Troy Groves, Sarah's dear husband, and Paul Herkman, who's been on the show before. And we've done this faith and fitness challenge a couple of years past, because fitness is just a part of who I am. And so we kind of weave that into what's going on and Live the Promise. But we skipped the faith and fitness challenge because we're praying about something different. Well, we've landed on this. And so we've kind of working behind the scenes. And July is going to be there's going to be a faith and fitness challenge. So people, we're working on it right now, the details. But I'm just giving you a preview in case you're going, what can I do? But you'll determine how many miles you can log on your bike or running or walking. And you'll raise money to say, and this is for justice sake. And the money's going to International Justice Mission. So it'll be a fun fitness challenge for you, but just a tangible way that you can do something for the cause of justice. And Bethany, I mean, you've had people from all walks of life do what they do for the sake of justice. I remember Sarah Groves was saying, I want to quit this. I want to, you know, join IJM. And Gary said, no, you got to keep singing.
Right.
Because you are creating an awareness through your songs. Maybe just speak to that unique call for each of us.
Right. I think this actually comes back to the verse we read at the very beginning, again, when Romans 12, 1 through 2 talks about presenting our lives as living sacrifices and being transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we just look at what other people are doing in the realm of taking steps toward justice, seeking justice in the world, and we think that that's what we're supposed to do, or that's the definition, that we will be, we'll be missing out actually on, I think, the uniqueness of how God is created each of us, or we'll become distracted and think, well, I could never do what that person's doing, or if I'm not out, you know, if I'm not the investigator going into the brothel, then it's not worth it for me to do anything at all. When your photography or even your accounting skills or your communication skills or your raising of your children, there are all of these different ways that we can influence and create significant kingdom impact while with the gifts that God has given us. And so I think it's constantly thinking, what does it look like for me to be putting my life on the altar, to be offering daily everything that God has given to me back to him as a living sacrifice, and to ask him, what does it look like for me to follow you? What does it look like in my community, in my church? How do we learn together what this looks like? And how do we renew our minds to actually hear from Scripture and hear from your Holy Spirit what your call is, not just what I see someone else doing or the discouragement that I feel because it's just too big of an issue and I'm not sure I have the right skills. Mm. But God will show you. There's no room for anyone to sit out. There's no bench on this field. Like, this is for everybody. Every single follower of Jesus has a call to do justice because it comes from the heart of God.
Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. IGM places a high priority, Gary Haugen places a high priority on prayer, something that just so attracted me to that, your organization. And to this day, you have regular daily prayer.
Right. And that's been one of the most transformative things of really my entire life over the past decade or so, is this rhythm of daily prayer with IJM. It starts as a time of stillness by yourself when you first come into the office. It's completely counterintuitive for these hard-charging type A justice professionals to get to their desk and stop. And it doesn't mean that there aren't
striving. Mm-hmm.
True life and death matters waiting for them, waiting for our field staff around the world, for our headquarters staff who are interacting with them. But it's so critical to realize that the very first step of seeking justice is to seek the God of justice, to start with him, to start with who God is and what his guidance is going to be for that day. And it can be utterly radically transforming for how we would have spent our day otherwise. And every meeting, every new obstacle that comes up should be reminded again that this starts with who God is, and he is the one who gives wisdom. And so IJM actually stops a second time each day at 11 o'clock every morning to gather as an entire staff and to hear, what are the obstacles today? What are the victories? How can we be praying for each other? We read from the Psalms together and we sit and we pray. And it's tempting to see it as a complete interruption and completely inconvenient. It never feels like great timing to stop your meeting at 11 o'clock in the morning or to make sure nothing's scheduled during that time. But over time, when the body of Christ comes together and prays together and seeks God together, it's a form of Sabbath each day.
Yeah.
It's a form of being obedient to the God who says, I reign over all of this. I'm the one who rules. I'm the one who created this earth. I'm the one who's setting it back to right. You're my servants. You're with me in this. I'm inviting you in, but I'm the one who's in charge. And so Sabbath is us stepping back once a week at seven on the seventh day every week to acknowledge who God is. And it's the same with our daily lives, daily stopping throughout the day to acknowledge who God is.
Absolutely powerful. When we come back, we're going to talk about something coming up called Freedom Sunday. You can be involved with IJM. And again, I'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you want to be entered into the drawing to win a copy of Bethany's book, The Justice Calling, put Justice Calling in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you win a copy of this transformative book. More with my friend Bethany when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Bethany Huang in studio from IJM, International Justice Mission. If you want to spend some time on that website, you could spend hours there, ijm.org, an amazing organization. Title of Bethany's book, The Justice Calling, where passion meets perseverance, because this race does take perseverance. Here's another excerpt from Bethany's book. Many of the concepts in this book, such as injustice and oppression and slavery, are all too easily relegated to the safer realm of abstract ideas. Remember that this calling is about real people. People suffering from injustice are our neighbors, both nearby and throughout the world. Right at this moment, each person has a name, a face, a family, and dreams. So huge. And before the break, we were talking about IJM's priority on prayer. You know, you having your time of stillness at 8:30, but this gathering. And I can see where you would think there's so much to do, but to stop and get together to seek God. Of course, it's an awesome idea, but I can see physically where you feel anxious, like I've got all this stuff to do. But there's something I've learned about prayer over the years, Bethany, is there's an accumulative effect, you know, the dailiness of it. You pick up speed and you start to see answers in greater measure with greater power. And I would love for you to speak to, if you can think of a story of a time where if not for God, I mean, it was God who helped you intervene in a particular case where you had a breakthrough where you wouldn't have otherwise seen one.
Absolutely. And there have been so many over the years. But one in particular, a few years ago, we're gathering for a global prayer gathering. It happens every spring, usually in April. And we were praying. We felt this bold invitation from God to pray and to lead others to pray for the end of slavery, for slavery to actually come to an end. And the more we thought about it, the more we prayed about it, we realized it actually could be ended. There's no reason why in a generation that is living on this planet today, that generation wouldn't be able to see slavery end. And so we decided that that's what we would ask people to pray for. And even specifically, we wanted to see it begin in this one country in South Asia where there are more slaves than any other country. So we started praying, and we went to this global prayer gathering. We had 1,000 people gathered, and we invited them to pray for this one particular country. That's where it would start to unravel from the seams. And in this country, I mean, talk about our 11 o'clock prayer times, day after day after day. This is the country we'd be praying about, where we're always on the verge of things just going really the wrong direction with the government authorities we're building relationships with. And time after time, we'd show up on rescue operations, and the slave owners would have been tipped off by a corrupt police officer, a corrupt official, and just over and over again, we were hitting roadblocks, and we would see some rescue operations go really well, and that would be sometimes even 12 people, sometimes even 70 people at once would be rescued, and that would be a mind-blowing opportunity. But there was this one time just after we had this gathering of 1,000 people, we were focusing particularly on this country and praying for the beginning of the end of slavery to happen in this country. Just after that gathering, there was a rescue operation, and 514 people were rescued all at once in one day. And everything went according to just these miraculous ways that we had never seen before in terms of the cooperation of the government. So not only were 514 people rescued, but the government cared for every single aspect of their need, getting them home. They had all been brought 1,000 miles from home to the slave facility. The government got them all home. The government paid their reparations that were due to them. And it was just absolutely staggering. But at the time, there wasn't quite enough political will to keep the perpetrator in jail. And unfortunately, that slave owner just filled up a slave facility all over again.
Wow.
And then a couple of weeks ago, we had another operation there, and again, over 500 more people were rescued. And this time, the slave owner was put in jail.
Come on, somebody.
Unbelievable. But so this is a picture of perseverance over many years, but it's more than anything, it's a picture of the work of prayer, the hand of God intervening and unraveling slavery from its seams. And this is a country where we now see slave owners come up to our staff, to my colleagues who live there, and say, how do I get out of this? How do I start an industry based on free labor, people who are laboring in freedom, not in slavery? And it sends a really strong message, and that's how we're going to see slavery end.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to play this clip because Freedom Sunday is coming up. This is about a 2-minute clip. I want you to speak to it and what we can all do and how we can get involved. Let's listen.
Slavery doesn't exist anymore. Actually, it does. We just don't see it. We don't see the small boy forced to work in a brick factory, carrying more than twice his body weight. Or the mother with her 2 small children sitting at her feet, working without pay and without end. Or the young girl whose body is sold again and again and again. But there is hope. Because there's a group of people working day and night, relentlessly searching for each one of these lives. And when they free one life, they search for the next, and the next, and the next. making them the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. They are called International Justice Mission. Right now, there are nearly 36 million slaves. And if this problem seems too big for them to handle alone, you're right. So there's a new plan, and it starts with you. It's called Freedom Sunday. The idea is simple. On September 25th, 2016, your church will dedicate its service to freedom. From the lobby to the message to the media, your church will experience God's love for justice and be given the opportunity to join His work in ending slavery. Because the end of slavery starts with believers who can see. When we see the small boy, whose name is Kumar, we can make sure he is allowed to go to school. We will see the mother, named Gauri, who is now working for a fair wage that will give both her and her children a better life. And we will see the young girl. Her name is Mien, and her body will never, ever be sold again. When you and your church join with IJM on Freedom Sunday, each life set free will add up, becoming hundreds, and then thousands, and then millions, until we finally can say, slavery doesn't exist anymore. Freedom Sunday. Join us.
Can you imagine? I can imagine it. Slavery doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We just got about a minute and a half before we pray, Bethany, but any other words you want to say about Freedom Sunday?
I just want to encourage you to check on the website. Go to IJM.org. That's for International Justice Mission. And there should be a big banner right on the front that says Freedom Sunday. And there are so many tools and resources. Everything's free. The team's been working really hard to create everything from banners that you can put up, programs, the music, the worship compilations, to even sermons that you can give to your pastor for certain ways to work through scripture and stories that they can use to help educate the congregation. So it's a great opportunity to get slavery on the radar and start developing the imagination in your entire church community. But it's a good time to start, would be now, is to start working with your church and just even asking leadership in your church, let's pray about this together. Is this something that we might be able to do together?
And we will link that up on our show page, the Freedom Sunday link, so people can get right there. This has been so fantastic. Wondering if you would pray for us and those listening today that God would mobilize us to do what He's called us to do in this fight for justice.
I'd love to. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are the God who loves justice. You love every single person, the billions and billions and hundreds of billions of people who have lived and will live. You love all of us. You see all of it. There's nothing outside of your sight. And you long to set all of it right. There's so much deep brokenness, so much suffering, but none of it is beyond your power. You are the one who reigns victorious, and you're inviting us as your followers to join you and to see what you'll do. So Lord, please, those of us who have been a part of this conversation today, listening, speaking, all of us, would you move in our hearts to show us what the next step is? Would you lead us forward in your ways? Would you show us who you are and give courage that all fear, confusion, distraction, all that would just fall to the wayside and you would show us the next step? It's in the powerful name of Jesus, your Holy Spirit, Lord God, our Father, we pray. Amen.
Dear Bethany, I love you.
Love you, Susie.
Love you to pieces.
Love being with you.
You're the best. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of my conversation with Bethany on our website, Be a Radio Missionary. Everybody needs to know about what's going on in our world today. We each can play a part, and it will make a difference, all right? Our podcast will be up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for Hour 2, Stu Epperson Jr. joins me to talk about the last words of Jesus and why they matter. Do you know one of the statements Jesus makes is a justice statement? We'll talk about that when we return.